Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're reading from verse 31 to 38. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we like to thank you for gathering us like this again here today. And we come from the past week, and sometimes the concerns of the past week are overbearing for us. We pray, Lord, that you would now grab hold of us and speak into our ears, speak into our hearts, that we may receive a word from you. May the Holy Spirit touch our hearts, Lord. So we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the people said, Amen. So it is the Last Supper, and Jesus is aware that he will be with his followers only a little while longer. He is about to glorify God in his life, as John tells us in John chapter 13. And he knows that somehow this will involve the giving of his life. So he now sets a tone for the people of God. He's now going to start a new way of doing things for God's people. You need to understand that there's a difference between the New Testament, which is the second part of the Bible, and the Old Testament, which is the first part of the Bible. And the people of God in the Old Testament is Israel. And Israel did not live up to what God had called Israel to do, to be a light to all the nations of the world. And so now, with God's blessing, Jesus calls God's people, God's followers, to a new way of doing things. He gives them a new command. Can we read this new command together? Because it is something that should characterize us as what I call the new Testament people of God. Let us read John chapter 13, 34 to 35 together right now. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So notice that God's new people will not be marked by the observance of holy days or temple sacrifices. It will not be marked by strict Jerusalem religious hierarchy. It will not have those restricted food practices. Instead, this New Testament people of God will be marked by love. In particular, love for one another. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." So, how will people know that we are the New Testament people of God? By our love for each other. However, the backdrop of this meal is horrific for Jesus. Let's hear the conversation in the room during this Last Supper. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "Judas, what you are about to do, do quickly." So John, who is telling us the story, tells it as it happens very plainly. Satan enters Judas. And so Judas is now about to go to the religious leaders to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. By this, all people will know that you are my followers. You have love for one another. So how can Jesus talk about the new command of loving one another when one of his followers is about to betray him for 30 pieces of silver? This is one thing that's happening that night in the conversation. Now let's hear another conversation in this Last Supper. Jesus tells them that he's about to go to some place that they cannot follow him to now. And Peter says he's willing to follow him. Peter asks, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Again, this is something contradictory that's happening to the new command of loving one another. Jesus is talking about loving one another when Peter is about to deny Jesus three times in the courtyard. So when Jesus says that there is a new command for the people of God to love one another, I think that he's referring to a very basic human need. We are all human beings who search for love and acceptance. God created us with this need for love and acceptance. In 1967, the Beatles released a song, "All You Need Is Love. Love is all you need," which eventually featured in their 1968 Magical Mystery Tour album. And I believe that this song captured the human need for love and acceptance. And certainly, the Beatles sang that the best things in life are possible when you have love. When you have love. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. That's what the Beatles sing. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Beatles, and I love their songs. And I also agree with them that love is the core basic human need. And we are all searching for love and acceptance. Now, they tell us in this song that everything is possible with love. But when you look at this song, and I believe as I sing this song, they don't really explain what love is. What is love? Or they also say that love is easy. Now, we all have experiences about love in our lives. Can we all truly say that it's easy? That love is easy? And the most incredible thing about the release of this song, "All You Need Is Love," is this. It was released in 1967. Can you guess what happened in 1970? The Beatles broke up. "All You Need Is Love," and the Beatles broke up. So Jesus announces that the new language of his followers is to love one another. Okay? But love is not easy. Yes, love is a core human need. But how do we know what true love is? And Jesus is talking about loving one another on that particular night when Judas betrays him for 30 pieces of silver and when Peter is about to deny him 3 times. Is this love? Is Jesus truly loved by Judas and Peter? And we all have our own Judas and Peter experiences in our lives, don't we? We've all relied on people, and many people have turned us down. And we don't need to go far to see all these examples. So now we go to the conversation in the Last Supper after Judas leaves the room. And then John, as he tells this story in John chapter 13, he makes a very strange, very, very strange assertion. He says that Jesus tells them that now he, the Son of Man, is glorified and God is glorified in him. Jesus sometimes uses himself as the title for himself as the Son of Man. And so, just want to show you John 13, 31 to 32. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. So don't you find that that's something very strange? Jesus is now saying that he's glorified when Judas leaves the room to betray him. How can Judas's betrayal lead to Jesus and God's glory? The answer lies in Jesus' earlier words in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, Jesus and his followers are in a very busy place, a public place, and there are some Greek-speaking people who come to worship at the Passover festival, Greek-speaking people, as opposed to Jewish-speaking people. And they tell Jesus' followers that they have come to see Jesus. So when Greek-speaking people in the middle of a Jewish festival come and say to Jesus' followers that they come to seek him now, Jesus takes this as a confirmation that his mission now includes Greek-speaking people and Jewish-speaking people. And so this is how Jesus replies in John chapter 12, 23 to 24. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." A grain of wheat. Jesus now makes it clear that his mission is to be a grain of wheat. Unless it falls to the ground and dies, it only remains a single seed. But when it dies, it produces many seeds. Many seeds. So this is the image of Jesus being that grain of wheat dying on the cross. And when he dies on the cross, he produces many seeds. Jesus' path to glory is a path of humiliation because he is like a grain of wheat that falls to the ground. It's a path of humiliation at the cross. Therefore, now as Jesus serves this Passover meal, it is indeed truly the Last Supper before the journey to the cross. This will be Jesus' last meal with his followers. And Jesus, as we all know, has some understanding that Judas is going to betray him and Peter is going to deny him. And after the meal, Jesus proceeds to do something that no one in the room would have predicted. Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. And this is how John explains the motivation of Jesus wanting to wash the disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved, the word love is there. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So this is the night before the cross. Jesus loves his followers to the end. He washes their feet as a symbol of his love for them. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that had been wrapped round him. So let me repeat. Judas is about to deny him. Judas is about to betray him. Peter is about to deny him three times. He has the Last Supper. He begins to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus washes the feet of Bartholomew. Jesus washes the feet of James, the son of Alphaeus. Jesus washes the feet of Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Jesus washes the feet of John and his brother John, James. Jesus washes the feet of Thomas, who will doubt him. Jesus washes the feet of Philip. Jesus washes the feet of Matthew, the tax collector. Jesus washes the feet of Thaddeus. Jesus washes the feet of Simon the Zealot. Jesus washes the feet of Judas Iscariot, who will betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus washes the feet of Simon Peter, who will deny him three times in the courtyard. Jesus washes all their feet. By going to the cross, Jesus not only washes the feet of all his disciples, Jesus washes my feet. By going to the cross, Jesus not only washes my feet, Jesus also washes your feet. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you and washed your feet. As I have loved you and washed your feet. You must love one another and wash other people's feet. We love because he first loved us. We wash the feet of others because God washes our feet first. God loves us before we can love each other. Without God showing his love to us, we do not know how to love. Through Jesus Christ, God has shown the infinite extent of his love for us. He pours out his love on us through Jesus Christ. It's a superhuman love. When we show others love, in reality, we are not showing our love because God first loved us. When we love others, we are showing forth God's love. We wash other people's feet because God washes our feet first. We love because he first loved us. So, usually I ask you to pray for 1 minute for a person in your life you want to extend the grace of God to. But you all know of that person in your life, of that Judas, of that Peter, of that doubting Thomas in your life, for whom it is so difficult to show love to. Maybe all you need to do is to give them a phone call. Maybe all you need to do is to just keep quiet if they shout at you. Maybe all you have to do is pray for them. I'm going to give you 1 minute right now. And I want to ask you for God to wash your feet. Ask God to wash your feet so that you can wash the feet of the person you should be washing in your life. Ask God to give you love so that you can love the person God is calling you to love. I'm going to give you 1 minute. It's your situation, it's not mine. I am also going to pray for myself because there's a situation I need to pray about. So let's pray for a minute for this love from God that we can love, show the love to others. So we love because he first loved us. Lord, pour your love on us so that we will have the ability to love others. In March 2018, a lone gunman took several people hostage in a French supermarket. Arnaud Beltran, a French police officer, offered to trade places with the hostage during the standoff. Because of his actions, the hostage lived, but the officer died. A spokesperson for French President Emmanuel Macron said that Beltran died in the service of the nation to which he had already brought so much. By giving his life to put an end to the terrorists, he has fallen as a hero. Father John Baptiste, a Roman Catholic priest, wrote of Officer Arnaud, "It seems to me that only his faith can explain the madness of this sacrifice, which is today the admiration of all. He understood, as Jesus told us, that there is no greater love than to give one's life for one's friends." John 15:13. He knew that if his life belonged to his wife, Marielle, it also belonged to God, to France, and to his brothers in danger of death. I believe that only a Christian faith animated by charity could ask for this superhuman sacrifice. Through Jesus, God loves us with a superhuman love. We love because God first loved us. Amen.